Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you're gift hunting for the Rod Stewart fan in your life this holiday season, well, suddenly you've got plenty of options. There's Rod's new Christmas album called Merry Christmas, Baby, and the 67-year-old raspy-voiced, immaculately coiffed rocker also has a new memoir filled with tales that are a bit more naughty than nice. And for the high rollers out there, Rod Stewart has also announced an upcoming run at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and there will be a spring tour. Joining me here in the studio is Billboard editor and Soundcheck contributor Joe Levy to talk about a very unique moment in Rod Stewart's career with all this stuff happening at the same time.
And one that's been planned for quite a while, actually. If you read the autobiography, you'll find out that about 2 years ago, when he was about to sign his new deal with Universal Records, he had gotten back together with Jeff Beck. They'd played a little together. He had the idea of making a traditional blues album. What a great idea! Mm-hmm. Only the record company wanted a Christmas album. And Rod, not being one to argue with the person who's paying, which is actually something he confesses to in the autobiography, has delivered a Christmas album, a book, and of course the run in Las Vegas.
All right, let's start with the album called Merry Christmas, Baby. Whether he wanted to do it or not, and I cannot believe they had to twist his arm too far after all the songbook records, how is this record?
Better than the songbook records in places. Not a great Christmas album all the way through, but it has its moments. Some of it's quite dreadful, and in fact, there's a moment where he's shown up duetting with Michael Bublé, who's a much better singer of these kind of standards. That's what he's built his career around, and who, by the way, was last year's Christmas champion, selling 2.5 million of Michael Bublé's Christmas, what a great title, in about 8 weeks' time. That's the amazing thing about these Christmas records, is they come out in October, they tend to catch fire in November, and build through December. So while overall sales of CDs in the music industry are dropping year after year after year, Christmas music sales continue to grow every year.
If you're Rod Stewart or Michael Bublé. Let's see. So give us a good clip from the Christmas
record. Well, you know, one of my favorites on the record is Blue Christmas. Now, Rod has covered many Elvis songs throughout his career, going back to the very first records he made. And this is a song not originated by, but certainly best known in the rock world and the rock Christmas world through the Elvis Presley version. And Rod's version, pretty good. I like it.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
Just a bit of Blue Christmas in the new Rod Stewart recording from his album Merry Christmas, Baby. Joe Levy, editor of Billboard. Where do you expect this to be on the Billboard charts?
This week, I think it will come in at number 2. It's growing steadily but slowly week over week as we head closer to Christmas and there are fewer new records coming out. Because the number 1 this week is probably going to be Alicia Keys. Mm-hmm. But as there are fewer brand new records coming out, Rod is almost assured of a number 1 album. And I think this one will sell about 1 million records. Wow. By the way, it was introduced with a special. There was a TV special on the Home Shopping Network.
Now, the some very nice slide guitar playing.
I've got to say, listening to that, I enjoyed it even more than I remember. And as my experience with all things Rod for the last week, because I've read the book, I've been immersed in the records, I've been having a great time.
Really?
All things Rod have just been filling me with joy. And I don't mean that in the way it just came out. But I've really been loving it. My respect for Rod Stewart has grown, and my interest in Rod Stewart has grown immensely.
You know what strikes me is, you know how singers' voices tend to deepen as they age? You
should lose the top range. Yeah, many people do.
That hasn't happened with Rod Stewart. If anything, his voice seems kind of smoother and... You know, the rough edges sanded smooth at this
point. Well, it started so rough, I suppose, and he did start as more of a shouter. And one of the difficult things about this late period Rod, where he's done three or four versions of the American Songbook, singing standards, and not just American standards, but just singing standards, jazz standards, basically, you know,
great American
great songs.
Songbook. Yeah.
He's not that kind of vocalist. He's a blues shouter, and so that song, which is a Christmas song, but from more of a country blues perspective, suits him really well.
Yeah. Now, but he has done a literal handful of albums of, you know, standards, Great American Songbook. The Christmas record, therefore, is kind of a natural progression, it seems, out of
Absolutely.
That.
And as a business decision, and I hate to put it in this perspective because it's a perspective that's frequently used to tarnish Rod, but not one that he at all shies away from in his autobiography. Mm-hmm, from a business perspective, this is an obvious choice. Here's a record that's going to sell this year and next year and the year after.
Rod Stewart is having a moment, several of them, all at once, with the new Christmas record, the announcement of the Las Vegas residency, and, of course, the autobiography called Rod, the Autobiography. Now, Joe Levy, you've mentioned the memoir a couple of times already. It sounds like you are in the long, long list of people who've read the book and really liked it.
It's extremely enjoyable. I did not expect to read it or enjoy it. It was dubbed the rock book of the season among many by the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And so I dug in, and I will say, I've been unable to finish the Townsend book. I've been interested by the Neil Young book, but not captivated by it. Rod, a natural storyteller, there doesn't seem to be a ghostwriter listed. I can't find one associated with this. Very likable, very self-deprecating, extraordinarily funny. This is a really, really fun read.
And it is sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Well, not so much, actually. I mean, you're expecting a little bit more, but here's the funny thing about this book is you're tootling along saying, wow, okay, he's just recorded the second solo record. We're getting to the rock star days. There's going to be some drugs, some girls. Things are about to happen. And all of a sudden, you get a chapter about how much he loves toy trains. Or one about, I really like sports cars. They're good for picking up girls. By the way, I haven't told you about any girls yet, not very specifically, because I'm too busy talking to you about how much I love Ronnie Wood, but I promise I'll tell you about some girls eventually.
Well, and then there's him and Ronnie Wood, you know.
The love of his life. You get halfway through this book, 170 pages in, before you meet a woman, a specific woman with a name and an identity, who he seems to care about as much as he cares about Ronnie Wood.
But then there's the bit about, you know, building a little wall in the room between them so they can each have a groupie.
This has become justifiably famous on their tour with the Jeff Beck Group. They're in America. There are willing ladies who are impressed by their British accent and their scarves. And by the way, Rod talks this way. I'm not being funny. Him being funny. They learn, well, if we're going to share a hotel room and we're going to have girls up, we're going to have to use the luggage and some sheets to make a wall. And then what Rod says is, what happens is, instead of merrily enjoying themselves with the ladies, they'll start to make noises at each other. Not sex noises, just dumb boys having fun noises because they're still basically teenagers. And as Rod says, we got more enjoyment out of each other than we did out of the girls. Mm-hmm. And he knows how that sounds.
Yeah.
He knows exactly how that sounds. But here is the thing. From 1968 to 1974, Rod Stewart recorded 10 albums, two with the Jeff Beck Group, four solo records, and four records with the Faces. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, having listened to these records over the last week, I believe they did as much as anyone else to define the sound and the possibilities of 1970s rock and roll. And I include the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin there.
And of course, Ronnie Wood would eventually go on to join the Rolling Stones.
Absolutely.
But not before he co-wrote material with Rod Stewart, including some of his, you know, best known, I mean, the title track from Every Picture Tells a Story.
An absolutely wonderful song. Rod tells you very little about the songwriting in his autobiography, except to say it was very hard. He tells a story about Ronnie and him going to Ronnie's house, and they get together, split a bottle of wine, and write no lyrics because they haven't figured out that, you know, it'd be better for Rod if the music is done and then you put the lyrics to it. But eventually they come up with this, the title track to Rod's third record, Every Picture Tells a Story.
On the Peking Ferry, I was feeling merry. Sailing on my way back here, I fell in love with a slit-eyed lady. By the light of an eastern moon, Shanghai Lil never used the pill. She claimed that it just ain't natural. She took me up on deck and bit my neck. Oh,
title track from the landmark album Every Picture Tells a Story, 1971 record from Rod Stewart, co-written with his good friend Ron Wood.
And what a great song.
Great song.
Doesn't
great
it sound
record.
Amazing? You can hear Led Zeppelin Over the Hills and Far Away in there, but you can also hear Brown Sugar happening at the same time and in a very spare way.
Mm-hmm.
There's so little going on in that music, and it feels so spontaneous. And there are Rod's loves. Bob Dylan, folk music, blues, sloppy, drunken, good time rock and roll, all coming together in this song. One of the amazing things about the autobiography is that I didn't realize, and he never tells you, that this song is essentially autobiographical. That he did go to Paris and get arrested. That he did, during his Bohemian I Want to Be Bob Dylan phase, stop washing. His body stunk, but he kept his funk. Yes. All of this was true, but he makes, like, no pretense of saying, hey, I wanted to write a song about my experiences up till now. It's what you would call a building's roman, the story of a young man making his way in the world. It's called Every Picture Tells a Story. No, that's the kind of stuff you get out of the Townsend book.
Uh-huh.
You know, this, like, I am a songwriter. I am literary. I am an artist. Rod just knows he's a lucky bastard.
The book is called Rod, the Autobiography. The album is Merry Christmas, Baby. A run of shows at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and then a spring tour, and then his first album of original rock tunes in 20 years. Who knows which Rod Stewart we'll get? The smooth-voiced crooner of yore, or...
It'd be nice if we got the Rod Stewart of this book, but I'm not counting on it.
All right, well, Joe Levy is editor at Billboard and a regular contributor to Soundcheck. Joe, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Hey, wake up,